Tech of Sports, episode 98. Golf writer and broadcaster Dan Shube. Tonight on the Tech of Sports, great to have Dan Shube. Just want to let you know that Netcast mobile apps are a great way to receive our content on your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android and Windows. And don't forget the Stitcher radio app. Tech of Sports is a member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. And the Tech of Sports is a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. We record every Wednesday night. And the show is available usually on Thursday at netcaststudio.com. You can see the download, the embed, and the stream. And you can that out. And everything usually is available on Thursday. Just want to let you also know about the podcast awards that are currently out for nominations, and the Tech of Sports and any of the Netcast Studio shows would appreciate a nomination. Take a second out of your day and you can go to netcaststudio.com and you can see the easy to use link for nominations and to nominate your favorite Netcast Studio show for a podcast award nomination. Just want to welcome tonight a guy that glad to have on the show. We're going to talk about a few different things. And it's Dan Shube. And even though I've only known Dan for a short time, we found we have a lot in common. And he's just a great guy to hang around, and a great family. And just got really have the pleasure of getting to know him over the last number of months. And Dan is a very active member of the South Florida media. He covers golf, travel, and entertainment. He's been a member of the Golf Writers Association of America. And for 6 years, he published, edited, and wrote golf features for Four Florida magazine and weekly columns on golf that ran in the Okeechobee News, the DeSoto Sun, and several other Florida newspapers. He edited the website Play Golf Now, and his feature articles have appeared on dozens of websites, e-newsletters, organizations, including the LPGA and Troon Golf. He's so well-versed, he also wrote an entertainment column for the Hometown News, and he hosted the Hometown News Entertainment Hour on WJTW in Jupiter, Florida. He's hosted several golf radio shows, and I had the pleasure to be on one that's out of the West Palm Beach area. It's the Golf and Travel Show on AM 1470 WWNN. And Dan, it's a long intro because you do a lot of things. Thanks for coming on tonight.
You either made it sound like I'm very old or I'm working too hard, but I don't know. This sounds like, for me, it's more fun than anything. So I hate to say it, but you and I, covering the stuff that we cover, it's really a good time. It's interesting, and we meet fun people like each other, and get to check out some very cool products and places. And, you know, we put the time in, but when it's fun, it's not really work, right?
No, but you have to be very organized. You have to meet deadlines. I mean, you have to, there's some responsibility that comes with going what we do. That's why I like talking with you, because you're, a lot of people don't understand, you know, what I do and how we go about it. But you do, you know, perfectly, because you're in the same boat as me. And that's why I think we get along so well and enjoy talking with you.
Well, absolutely. There is a lot of work, but a lot of pleasure too, because we do have the privilege to see so many wonderful products and places, and to be able to share it with our readers and listeners is a wonderful thing. There's so much stuff out there available these days, and not everybody finds it. So we kind of go digging around and check it all out and find out what's good, so that we sort it all out for the rest of the folks, and they can just focus in on the stuff that's really cool and not waste their money on the stuff that isn't.
Yeah, and it's good that, you know, not only me and you and the probably dozens of other people that are out there writing about things, but it's good to see someone else's opinion, has always been my thought. And to, I mean, you don't know until you actually try the product yourself or see it yourself. But for me, when I outlay money for something, I like to see someone else's opinion on it as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, different strokes for different folks. You know, what I like, you might not like. And, you know, if we explain the features and what it is that we like about it, at least other people maybe will have commonality and they'll agree with us. Or maybe they'll say, hey, that's not right for me. And then we've saved them from throwing a couple $100 out or even more. I mean, some of this stuff, the tech stuff, the equipment, it's not cheap. So, you know, it's one thing to spend the money and be happy and satisfied with what you've gotten. But it's another thing to go out there and spend all that money and then be disappointed. So I think by listening to the things that we have to say, they can make those informed choices and, you know, not throw their money out, but invest in stuff that's going to keep them happy.
Sure. And Dan's joining us from the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas for this show on a secure phone line, hopefully. You're at a non-related golf trade show. Is that all you can really say, Dan?
No, I can explain it. This is my other job. All this media work, even though it sounds like it's a full-time job, I do it in my spare time or part-time. And my full-time job, I'm the chief marketing officer for a company called Labor Finders. It's an industrial staffing company. And the show that I'm working is called The World of Concrete, which doesn't sound very exciting or fascinating, but believe it or not, I mean, there's just multi-million dollars of equipment, you know, it's huge. It's a good, gigantic industry and a lot of very interesting people that I'm meeting. So that's kind of fun too, but it's a bit of a tease because I'm sitting here looking out my window at the Wynn over their beautiful golf course, Tom Fazio design. I believe it's about $500 to play and you have to be a guest of the hotel. For that $500, if you're not staying right here or you need to go somewhere, they'll throw in a free limo. They do have caddies available, of course, as well. And I'm looking right now at their signature hole. I'm not sure what hole it is, but they've got this huge waterfall right behind the green, which I know that they spent millions and millions of dollars to build. And it's just incredible. And this is the only golf course that's actually on the strip. So they have that distinction as well. So it's a nice view, but it is a bit of a tease that I'm not going to have an opportunity to play it, unfortunately.
No, I've heard good things about that. So you're saying there's a lot of similarities between the concrete industry and the golf industry.
Well, yeah, I mean, all industries, you know, if you think about it on the surface, you know, you may think that it's not fun, it's not interesting, there's no technology involved, but it's not true. And when you dig a little bit of deeper, you find that all these different industries have a lot of commonality. And, you know, obviously, there's a lot of marketing involved. I mean, I do marketing, so everybody is pitching and trying to sell their stuff. And I got very fortunate. I picked a booth that I thought was a good booth. It's on a corner. And just across the aisle from us is this high-tech web designing company. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, they were setting this thing up while we were setting our booth up. And my space is like a 10 by 10, which, you know, is a smaller space. They must have about an 80 by 40, about 25 or 35 employees, like in lab coats, 30 or 40 Mac computers set up, 10 or 15 beautiful models in their booth. And the key thing to attract a crowd is free beer. So, yeah. Excuse me. Sorry, I apologize for my cold here. But so we're opposite. We actually yesterday, and it was a mistake because I'm not feeling well, but we were giving some of our specialty items to their workers, including the models. And one of the models said, if you guys want beer, wink once if you want one beer, wink twice if you want two. And she's actually delivering us beer.
Wow, you picked the right booth space, Dan.
It was unbelievable. And you know, we've got great giveaways, so they're sending people to us. We're sending people to them if they want to get their beer. Life is good, you know. It's very much fun and just an interesting day. So it's like I say, World of Concrete, you tell people, they say, is that like the worst place you could possibly be? And it's like, no, it's interesting. All these different shows are interesting, and you'd be surprised.
And, you know, getting back to golf for a minute, I hope you're feeling better out there, by the way. Few weeks ago, we were at the PGA show in Orlando, and also a big show. But, you know, it's maybe tidied up a little bit over the years. It was bigger at one time. It still is over 40,000 attendees at the show. There's a huge demo day that kicks off the show. What kind of your impressions this year of the 2015 PGA show, Dan, as someone that's been to numerous shows?
Yeah. I've been going to the PGA merchandise show for either 18 or 19 consecutive years, so it's been a long time. Obviously, the Great Recession took its toll on almost every industry, and golf maybe more so than others, because it's certainly a luxury item. It's not a necessity. People don't have to play golf, and if they do, they don't need to get new clubs, you know, every year or 5 years. They can kind of make do with what they have. So the industry definitely took a huge hit during that time. And they've been trying to make a comeback ever since, but it's been difficult because even this recovery that we've been in the past couple of years, it's still more of a recovery for things that are more necessity than luxury. So I truly believe that, you know, people are just not spending money that they don't have to spend on. You know, maybe they put off getting a new car and their car is breaking down, or they need new windows in their home. That kind of stuff is going to come first. So I think golf is coming second. And I think due to that, there has definitely been many people, exhibitors that have not come back, less new exhibitors that are trying to break into the industry, which is extremely difficult to do. You know, every year when I see somebody new, especially if they're nice people and they have a good product, I hope and pray that I'll see them again the next year, but it's pretty rare. They oftentimes come once and never to be seen again. You know, but I think the technology has come to a point also where there's not that much of a difference between the club that you hit a year or two ago that came out and what's coming out now. I mean, yeah, again, there's a lot of marketing and there is technology, but, you know, very often my old driver goes just as well as the new one. Although we do get really excited, you know, we hit the new stuff at the show. And I think we all know that when you buy a new club, they put like some fairy dust in there or something so that when it was brand new, it performs amazingly. But then after you use it a few times before you know it, it's kind of just the same as your old one. You know, that magic kind of disappears. So I think it's difficult for the manufacturers to convince people to, you know, throw down $300, $400, $500 on a club these days. It's just not easy. And I think the biggest surprise this year was how much TaylorMade cut back, because in past years, they had a booth that was just enormous. I mean, I heard that they were spending about $8 or $9 million exhibiting at this show, between the space, all the people they send, and everything else that surrounds that. This year, I heard that they spent about half that, which, you know, unfortunately to Reed, the people that put on the show, obviously it's going to be a huge hit to their bottom line for, you know, the less space. But, you know, they were the leaders in the golf industry as far as marketing and product and clubs. And they just had a terrible year. And I think a lot of it was their own stupidity, because I think they tried to like kill the golden egg or something. You know, they were doing so well introducing clubs, say, once a year. So their thought was, well, if we do it twice a year, well, we'll make twice as much money. Yeah. And it just didn't work, you know. So everybody got upset with that. I mean, if you're a golfer and you buy a brand new club and then 6 months later it's not new anymore, someone else has a newer one, you're not feeling very good. And the retailers were having major issues too, because they were buying all this inventory and then 6 months later it's not new anymore, and then you find it at Costco or something. So they were unhappy, and people just, they weren't going for it. And TaylorMade, I think, took a really big hit. And I heard that they're even on the block to be sold potentially.
Yeah, there's always rumors going around. I thought the show seemed a little more open this year. I don't know if that was because there were fewer exhibits, fewer booths.
Yes.
And was it short? Was it shorter? Did it stretch out longer the last couple of years? Did they enclose it in?
No.
Was it the same length?
Yeah, I think a year or two ago they moved, maybe 2 years ago, they moved it forward by a day. So it's different days, but it's the same number of days. And obviously, you know, Reed, who put on the show, if they have less exhibitors, they creatively make things like aisles a little bit wider,
right,
or more areas to eat your lunch. You know, more driving bays or something. You know, they kind of spread everything out so that it looks like the place is full, even though perhaps they had less exhibitors. So your thoughts that it was kind of airy is probably 100% true.
Yeah, and the Inventor Showcase was a lot smaller this year, and I think that the new product area was about the same size. But, you know, as someone that hits those areas, I kind of try to judge those little areas a little bit and see. But yeah, the Inventor Showcase was a little disappointing this year, in my opinion. I don't know if you ventured over there or not.
Yeah, no, I did. I do that as well every year, because you just never know. Similar to you, I like to try and look for the little guys to help them, the TaylorMades, the Callaways, the Titleists. They've got huge budgets for both PR as well as advertising. And the public's going to hear about it and find out about it. So I'm looking to find something that nobody's going to find out about that's really cool. So I do go there. And I think it doesn't shrink, because it's the American dream. You know, people are always inventing stuff. They want it to be the next big thing that's going to turn them into an overnight, you know, sensation, a millionaire of some sort. And, you know, I just think that desire to be a success in business and to be a success in the golf industry, because they're probably all fans of the game too, I don't think that that's ever going to go away. It's just a matter of how many of them actually do succeed. And again, I feel bad for the people that have a really cool product, but it's just too difficult to succeed in this environment these days.
Yeah, extremely tough to break through. And we're with Dan Shube here. He's one of the hosts of the Golf and Travel Show on AM 1470 WWNN. And is that in West Palm? Is that where the station is, Dan? Yeah, or
it's just south of West Palm in Boca Raton.
Okay, so it's in Boca.
Yep, so our reach over the airways is pretty much from like Fort Lauderdale to just north of the Palm Beaches. And, you know, we also, of course, stream on the website, WWNNradio.com. And then it gets rebroadcast a couple of times during the week as well for other people that don't get a chance to catch it live. And now that the owners of the station, they actually purchased recently a new station in Tampa. So until they get more local programming to the Tampa area, they're simulcasting my show over there in Tampa too. So we're spreading our wings a little bit. So that's
wow, that's good for you. You got both coasts covered there.
Yep, I sure do. And it's nice. And like I say, I mean, I take being on the airwaves is a responsibility that I take seriously. And, you know, it's all about doing the right thing for the listeners and just, you know, telling them what they need to know and, you know, getting them to make the right buying decisions and alerting them to new stuff that they wouldn't otherwise know about. So, like we said earlier, that's why we work hard and we're always digging to find something that's cool to let everybody know about so they can enjoy the game even more.
Sure. We'll get on to talk about your radio show here in a second. First, let's take a quick break for Amazon.com. And just want to let everyone know that if the Amazon.com is a partner here at the network, and if they're doing any shopping on Amazon, Valentine's Day is coming up. Don't forget about that. Mother's and Father's Day. You can use the affiliate link here at the studio, netcaststudio.com/Amazon. For any and all of your shopping needs, there's no extra cost to you. Just log on to netcaststudio.com/Amazon and then do all your shopping on Amazon like you normally would do. And it helps support the shows here at Netcast Studio. Also want to remind everyone, if you are a fan of the Tech of Sports or any of the Netcast Studio shows, please go on to iTunes and leave positive ratings or a positive review for your favorite shows. That helps out greatly when people are searching for shows to listen to, and they want to see what other people's opinions are of the shows. So go to iTunes, any of the Netcast Studio shows that are on netcaststudio.com, leave a positive review or your opinion of the show, and we really appreciate that. Dan, back to the show for 1 second. I wrote, you know, it's kind of cliche to write that, you know, technology is the big star of the show or about all the high tech products. I mean, I have to do that every year. But what were maybe a couple of the new products that really stuck out in your mind that you really liked?
Sure. And some of these are probably items that would fall in the high tech kind of area. Others are products that aren't really technical products, but they have technology built into them. That's pretty cool. I would start with a product that I know that you're familiar with, and I got a chance to check out their newest, and that's the Golf Buddy.
Yeah.
And I like the watch one. I think you tried one of those too. They have other models that look more like a cell phone, but they've upgraded their watch. The one that I had tried previously, and maybe you did too, was an older model. It was white, and it was kind of big and a little bit bulky. And it was neat, though, because it spoke, which was very cool. But now they've come out with a more streamlined version. It's much thinner. It's got a black band instead of the white band. It's the Golf Buddy WT4. And it has some other interesting features as well. Personally, I just kind of like knowing how far I am from the green and, you know, front, back, center, and that's enough. But it does give you a bunch of other things that you need to know about, where the bunkers are and, you know, how long you've played and just a lot of other neat things if it matters to you. But I really like the styling better because the other one just kind of looked a little bit funny. And it is a product that I appreciated. I sometimes use a laser instead. And I find sometimes it's a little bit difficult, you know, if your handshake's a little bit, instead of reading the distance of the flag, you may be reading the distance to some tree that's behind the green. But lasers are good too. I did get to check out the laser from Leupold, which is a company that makes really good lasers, and they also got a new product out that was very, very cool. It's called the GX4i2, and what was good about it is the when you look at it, the information is much easier to read. Everything is now like red LEDs, and if you're out in the Florida sun, for instance, where I'm playing, sometimes it's kind of hard to see. And this new one, if you prefer the lasers, is just a great product as well. And Leupold, they make lots of good things. And I know your listeners are from all different sports, but they're huge, like in hunting as well.
Absolutely.
You know, so great company, great people.
They make fantastic products. They do not put a product out on the market that hasn't been tested and vetted and tested again. Their products look good, and they absolutely are some of the best products at the show.
Yep. And, now, talking about something that you wouldn't call high tech, but it's a product that I like as well, and it seems that they've added some new technology that I personally thought was very, very cool. And when I say cool, maybe pun intended, I don't know. But the product is called 2Under. Are you familiar with those guys?
Yeah, I went and saw that. They had a nice little booth, and it was attracting a lot of attention.
Yeah. Last time they had a tiny little 10x10 booth, and now it was like a 40x40 booth with a lot more people working, a lot more product on display. And, you know, it's performance underwear, And obviously they do aim at other markets, but this particular product is aimed at the golf market. And you know, I think the name is just very cute, Two Under. It's very cute. And their claim to fame is something that they call the Joey Pouch, which protects your valuables, so to speak, just like a kangaroo would have its little baby in the pouch. Yep. But this year, what they did is they improved it with something that they're calling cold skin. And what it does is it reduces your body temperature by 3 to 6 degrees. And I mean, I'm no scientist. I'm not going to put a thermometer in my underwear. You know, that would be kind of weird.
Come on, but come on,
in Florida. I know, these are the things that we need to do, right, for our listeners. But in Florida in the summer, it's brutally hot and humid. So if they have a product that not only is good at, you know, moisture wicking, but can actually reduce your temperature, that's a wonderful thing. So to me, there's some high technology in what you would consider to be a low-tech product. So I really like that product. And those folks, too, they're the nicest people. So, you know, you really want to help publicize and make sure that they succeed. And then they are, obviously. They're doing a bang-up business. So two under, great product. Couple of clubs that I thought had some promise and some new technology. I had mentioned before, I always get invited to Tour Edge's media event where you get to test out their clubs. And their new line of exotics are very, very cool. I hit their driver and I loved it. I came home with their 3-wood and I like that as well. You know, everything that many of the big manufacturers are making, including Tour Edge, has gotten more and more adjustable. So, I mean, you could change the loft on your club very, very easily. You could change the weighting as well. So you could take this 3-wood and turn it into a 4-wood or a 5-wood. You know, the first thought is like, oh, well, I need less clubs, but you're not allowed, you know, by law to change it in the middle of your round. So, I mean, you can't, you know, hit it as a 3-wood and hit it as a 4-wood your next shot, but, you know, you have to adjust it prior to your round, but it's still, you know, a lot of people have a hard time hitting a 3-wood that doesn't have a lot of loft, especially off the grass. So if you could loft up just a little bit and find that right spot that's perfect for you and then change the weighting to enable you to get the ball up in the air, you're going to improve your game. And you may not take a lot of strokes off your game, but you're just going to hit more good shots and just be happier about your game and not be throwing your clubs or, you know, being angry. So I really commend them. And they too, Tour Edge is a company. They don't pay the players on the PGA Tour to play their clubs, and many of them do. They put a lot of their money into their technology. David Glad, their founder and chief engineer, I guess, who does most of their design work, is a genius when it comes to designing clubs. They look beautiful and perform well. And typically the price points are not, you know, they're not crazy expensive for that kind of quality. So Tour Edge Exotics is a product I would recommend. On putters, I had an opportunity to try. I mean, I'm not a great putter. I unfortunately battle the yips, and I've turned to the lawn putter, which some people believe is going to be illegal in a year. I don't agree with that. It's anchoring it that's illegal. You can still use it if you don't anchor. But manufacturers have stopped making them because they believe that everyone thinks they're illegal and they won't buy them any longer. So every time I go to a putter company, they always say to me, "Oh, we can cure your yips." They never can. And this company, no different, but my problem is really bad. Most people don't have the problem that I have. And in looking at this Cure putter, it's got a very, very wide head or face. It's made out of aluminum, and they put some heavy weighting on either end of the putter face, and it's adjustable. So somebody like myself with the yips, they advise that you put a lot of weight on. If you don't have that and you prefer more feel, then you put less weight on. But basically, by putting that heavy weight on the two outsides of the club and the club face, it enables you to have a much larger sweet spot. So if you're not stroking the ball right in the center, right on that sweet spot, you're going to have less miss hits and much more better putts. It looked a little bit funny. You know, it was aluminum with some pretty bright colors and stuff, which is another thing that's involved in golf, you know, with the Ricky Fowler stuff with, you know, the bright oranges that he wears. So they're very trendy with these hot colors. But I did feel that it helped me a little bit. Again, I'm the exception to the rule, but I think the average golfer would probably enjoy hitting the Cure putter and definitely have a lot less miss hits and a lot more success. So that would be what I would recommend.
I have one, and it does putt pretty well. And, you know, for people that like to tinker with their putter or, you know, have the yips or you know, have a particular problem with their lining up their putts or the follow through on with their putter. The cure putters are something to look at.
What else can I tell you that I enjoyed seeing? And here's a product that I didn't get a chance to try out. You probably did. I just heard from them again the other day, so I got to get myself a sample to try. But it looked very cool. It was from a company called DST Golf. And did you see that with the curved shaft?
Yep. It actually is a viable product.
I thought it was pretty cool from what I was watching. I watched other people hit it. I just didn't get a chance to do it myself. And it seemed to make a lot of sense. And I definitely want to try it out. So you probably know a little bit better than me. But I guess it kind of replicates what happens to a club when swung right at the, you know, the moment of impact or whatever. And when you use it for practice, and then you go out there with your regular club, it's obviously supposed to train you to hit the ball better. And it seemed like it made a lot of sense to me, and it was different as far as a training aid goes. Again, it's technology for sure. It's not high tech. It's not electronics, you know, but it's definitely using technology to train people better, to play better, to enjoy the game more. So I thought that was pretty cool. Another product that you probably heard about, and I can't say that it's that different or high tech, but the fact that they are breaking into an industry and using a different method, I thought was pretty cool. And I also thought that the guys from the company were just wonderful guys. And that would be Vice Golf, the golf balls. I know you've had a chance to hit those, right?
Oh yeah, and talk with all the guys as well.
Right, and I they actually came down to my studio last Friday night, and I guess it was the Friday after the show. Maybe that was two Friday nights ago. And they were on their way. They were going to take a couple of days vacation in Miami after the show in Orlando. So on their way down, five of them all came into the studio. Those guys are like a party on wheels. I mean, yeah, they're the funniest guys. So I had a lot of fun with them. And you know, what I'd like to say about their golf balls is that there's nothing remarkable about them. What's remarkable is that they're every bit as good as the Titleist and the Callaways and the Wilson balls, which anytime a new company hits the market, usually they can't compete. They don't have the technology. They can't make a product that's even close to being equal, no less better. And these guys are not trying to pretend that they're any better. They're just trying to say we're equally as good. And their method of delivering the product to the people is what seems to be better, because they've decided to go direct and sell their golf balls via their website. And even though they're headquartered in Germany, they've set up distribution out of Buffalo, New York, so that it's easy to get it fast and inexpensively. And you can get a golf ball that's every bit as good as the big names for maybe a tiny bit more than half the price.
Yep.
And you can even get it personalized with some, you know, they have very high-tech printing capabilities to get logos or your name or something on the golf ball. And they have three different types for, you know, different games. And they hit, you know, very, very well, I thought. So I was pleasantly surprised, because 9 times out of 10, you know, some new golf ball comes on the market and it's just not any good, you know. So they get kudos for being equally as good as the big guys, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I like what those guys are doing. Any different shoes stand out to you, Dan?
I didn't get a chance to try any of the shoes. I expect to be getting a pair of New Balance. So there's a company that's breaking into the golf industry. Obviously, they've had tremendous success in sneakers, you know, for runners and just comfortable shoes. So they're going to be sending me a pair to put through the paces. So it's kind of hard for me to say without trying any of them. You know, some of the companies, last year I was fitted for a pair of OGO shoes and they never came. So it's really hard to say if they're good or not. Shoes are really, they're definitely a product that require you trying them, because, you know, feet are a funny thing. You know, I mean, first of all, they have to be comfortable, and everybody's feet are different. So that's the first thing. Second of all, very few of us walk as much as you do when you play golf. And that's even if you have a cart, especially if it's a little bit wet and it's cart path only. You do a lot of walking in 4.5-5 hours out there on the golf course. And your feet need to be comfortable. And of course, they need to perform, because it's not that unusual that the grass is going to be wet, especially if you play in the morning when you got the dew out there. So they need to perform too. So I did not have a chance to try any of the new shoes yet. So maybe you have some tips for me of which ones I need to try besides the New Balance. Yeah, I saw a couple of brands that were high end that were surprising, you know, like Italian shoes that, you know, retail for, you know, $1,200 or something. Oh. But I don't have too many listeners, I think, that would be willing to pay that. So it doesn't pay to just tease everybody, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean there were a lot of new shoes. I thought I got a pair of the Adidas Boost ones. I haven't tried them yet, but they put the Boost technology that's in the other Adidas shoes. Now they're putting them in the golf shoes. So we'll try that. And like you said, yeah, the New Balance looked nice. The Echo looked nice. There were a few new companies. Yeah, shoes are a personal preference. So you really got to try them yourself. What's great for one person, you know, the next person may not be able to wear them. So we're wrapping up with Dan Shube here on the Tech of Sports this week. And Dan, I know you mentioned a little about your radio show, and what else do you have going on with that? I know it's a weekly show. Tell the listeners a little about that, and what else do you have coming up?
Sure. We do that show live every Friday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, as you mentioned, on 1470 a.m. in Florida. But you could tune it in at wwnnradio.com. It streams live. So again, on 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, you can hear it. And then it rebroadcasts on our sister station on Sunday night from 6 to 7. And that's in Southeast Florida, 7:40 a.m. Or their website for the stream is wsbrradio.com. And like I say, it is in Tampa now. I believe it's on 1010, and I don't know if they're streaming over there yet. And that will be Sunday as well at 6 p.m. In Tampa. And then it rebroadcasts again Thursday night at 9 o'clock back on wwnnradio.com. So we have plenty of coverage, and obviously we're always trying to get some new guests. It's a bit difficult for me when I'm on the road because now I have to call into the show when I'm traveling. So
sure.
This week, unfortunately, I'm still here. I'll actually be getting ready to board the red eye to head home on Friday night. So I'll be able to call in from the airport for part of the show. And then next week I'm going to be calling in again. I'm going to be in the Tampa area, actually, coincidentally, staying at what looks to be a pretty cool hotel. It's Le Meridian, and I stayed at the Parker Meridian in New York City not so long ago, just for some personal stuff. And it's an older hotel, and it was absolutely beautiful, a great view of Central Park, and a great place for breakfast there in New York. You can actually spend well over $100 on some of their breakfast items, but they're known to be the best breakfast in New York. And when I found out that there's now a Le Meridian in Tampa and I needed to be there, I wanted to check it out. It seems that they've taken over an old, like a bank building or something, like a real historic building. And they've built this very nice upscale hotel. So I'm looking forward to that next Friday. And what else can I say? I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, obviously there's plenty of golf to be played, and there's places to go and golf courses to play. So, every week is a new adventure for me, just like you. We get to check out new golf courses, and new packages come in the mail with new products that we get to try out. And it's a lot of fun to do. And it's just, it's great to share it with all of our listeners so that they can know everything that we know.
Yep. You got a great attitude about it. And yeah, the cycle keeps going. Valentine's Day in a week, and then Mother's and Father's Day, and then we head into the summer, and just your show is called just simply the Golf and Travel Show. And if listeners search for that and put in your name, Dan Shube, S-H-U-B-E, the link will come up, and I recommend people to check it out. And
sure, and you can also go to our Facebook page. So it's facebook.com/ the Golf and Travel Show.
Yeah, definitely like that show on Facebook, because you always put up the links when the show comes out, and the ability for people to listen to it online. And I do that, Dan, and enjoy doing that. So appreciate that. And just one last question I always ask all my guests as we wrap up here, Dan. What's the one piece of current technology that you can't live without?
I would have to say that I'm addicted to my cell phone. I know you walk around with two or three of them. I only have one. I've got my iPhone. It's an older model. I have to wait for my Verizon contract to come up in a few months, and I'll upgrade to a new one. But I am, attached to it at the hip, and it's a problem when technology starts to take over your life and you become addicted to it a little bit, but it makes my life better. I mean, here I am in Las Vegas with a million things going on. If I didn't have my reminder set to make sure to call into your show, I'd forget, So it really keeps us on the straight and narrow. It enables us to communicate with all sorts of people, whether it be via text or email or phone. And we can update our Facebook pages and things like that while we're on the run. So I would have to say, when it comes to technology, it's certainly my cell phone that I can't live without.
That's what it is for most people. And when you upgrade, Dan, what do you have your eye on? That big iPhone 6 Plus, maybe?
I don't know. By the time my contract is up, maybe they'll have something new out there. And I'm not sure. I haven't really put the bigger one in my hands. You know, it obviously it's easier to see, but I carry it in my front pocket typically, and I'm not sure how comfortable that'll be. So I kind of have to make that decision then. And you never know with Apple if they're going to come out with something new. You know, and obviously just because your contract, you know, the day it becomes 2 years old and you're eligible for an upgrade, if the rumors are that in 2 months or 4 months something new is coming out, you know, I may wait. You know, you don't want to have that buyer's remorse that you're now locked in for two more years with something that isn't what you really wanted.
I understand completely. Just like golf equipment, you may have the latest today, and then tomorrow there's a whole new line coming out.
Nothing is the latest for very long.
No, exactly right. Dan, thanks for taking time out of your trip in Vegas and coming on. I was definitely looking forward to having you on, and great insight, great information, as I expected.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you always, whether it's your show or my show, and we certainly need to do it again.
We definitely will, Dan. Really appreciate it. Travel safely, and we'll be back in touch real soon. And just want to let all the other listeners know that Netcast Studio has many other shows which may be of interest to you. You can head over to netcaststudio.com, check out all the shows that are available, and also the new Patreon account where you can help support Netcast Studio shows, patreon.com/NCS. So check that out, Netcast Studio on Patreon. Netcast Studio also has the Two Thumbs Up Media internet directory where you can discover new audio, video, and internet streaming content right at your fingertips. Thanks for listening to the Tech of Sports podcast, a Netcast Studio production.